Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, a very familiar chapter in the Word of God. There was a time in my life when I could quote much of this chapter. That time is long gone. So I'll read it this morning, what the Lord's put in my heart. Stand with me, please, in reverence to the Word of God. Thank you for being here. I want to ask you a question. Don't you lie to me. Don't you lie to the Lord. How many of you have already sensed His presence this morning? Did you know He don't owe that to us? He could just go right on down the road. He don't owe that to us, Brother Steve. Come by and visit with us and encourage us, strengthen us. Amen. I've been saying for years, and I believe it's becoming clearer every day, before this thing is over, I believe we're going to need each other like we've never needed each other before. Amen. Romans chapter 10, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Everyone in this building today, I promise you this, the word is nigh thee. God's men, and I say this of all of God's men, we have nothing to preach but the word. We have no authority outside of the word of God. And so the word is nigh thee today. You've come to church this Easter Sunday in 2022. And I promise you, the word is nigh thee. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, look at this is very important. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Wouldn't it be a joke to try to talk to somebody that you didn't believe was listening, that you didn't believe cared, that you didn't believe was even there or existed? And how then shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Do you ever wonder what we're doing? Why we have church? Why churches have a pastor? Why churches have been given the gift of an evangelist? Why churches, Brother Grizzle, have been given missionaries to carry this glorious gospel around the world? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach, Brother Colt, except they be sent? You told me the other day, I believe you've got 70% of your support. Somebody believes you're going to go tell them about Jesus. And by the way, I'm going to stop and say this. Brother Colter taught our teen class today. And brother, I saw something today that I've not seen before. The ability that God's given you, you're going to be a chaplain. You're not only going to be able to preach to those men, but you're going to be able to teach them. He did a great job, amen? I didn't even call that this morning, preaching with the brakes on. It was just good, down-to-earth Bible teaching. And when those men get saved, Brother Colt, that's what they're going to need. Is that good, down-to-earth, that you're going to make disciples out of them. Amen. The Word of God said, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they've not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah or Esaias said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Somebody might say, well, I'm not saved. I don't even know why I would go. I would tell you, I'd go all I could go. I'd hear all I could hear. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The word of God said, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. That's speaking of the Gentiles. That's speaking of you and I. And by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and he saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I mean, he's glad when you weren't looking for him. Thank God he was looking for you. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and a gainsaying people. I believe in this service today, God will stretch forth his hand. He wants to help. Many times more than we want his help or know that we need his help. But he wants to help us. Please be seated and pray with me and pray for me. I would appreciate it. Father, thank you this morning for the grace of God. Thank you, Lord, for your people. Lord, there are people here that I never thought I would see this Easter Sunday, but I'm so glad to. I'm so thankful that they're here. And I'm glad, our Father, that before you ever spoke the world into existence, you knew who would be here this Lord's Day. You knew, Lord, as we wrestled in prayer and wrestled last night, you knew, our Father, what was needed for this hour. God, you knew the song the choir needed to sing. God, you knew the special. You knew, Lord, that it would be wonderful to open the service with victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. Now I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to hearts. God, I realize today that I only have the capacity to speak to men and women's ears. But Lord, if it's taken farther than their ears, down into their heart, the Spirit of the living God must do that. Lord, I beg you to do that. I thank you for the night you did that for me. Lord, when my pastor was up there preaching the Word of God, had no idea even that I was lost. But God, you came by. And Lord, you took the words from my ears into my heart. And Lord, gave me the grace to respond to the gospel call. I pray you'll help us now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many's glad to be here? Amen. Amen. I want to preach a simple message today and hope it'll be a blessing to you, entitled, Because He Lives. Because He Lives. I spent 10 years of my life preaching in the prisons. I have to be careful because I want to say, it wants to come out, I spent 10 years of my life in prison. But I spent 10 years of my life preaching in the prisons before I became the pastor at Bible Way Baptist Church. And I told the Sunday school class this morning, God knew what he was doing. You look what God has done and given the Rock of Ages ministry, Brother Coulter. And God knows that at 62, I couldn't travel the way I did at 52. God knows that. And God knows all things. Amen. He knows this morning what we need even before we ask him. But he said to ask and you shall receive. As I preached in the prison, there were certain things you were not allowed to do. You couldn't go in there and preach against Hinduism and all the isms in the world. Amen. I can't even name them all. Amen. But I want you to know this. They said, listen, you can preach the gospel. So I figured out early on how to say something that needed to be said. This is what I would tell the men. If you can find the bones of your God, then he's a dead God. You can't find the bones of Jesus. The founder of Christianity, beloved, is alive and well. The tomb is empty. Let me let you in on something. That's why my heart is full. Because the tomb is empty. He's alive this morning. He loves you this morning. You could be going through a trying time in your life, whether it's physical, financial, spiritual, whatever it is. My God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you need. And He loves you this morning. He's alive because He lives. First of all, this morning, to just give you several things in the message, and I'll scoot right along here. I know people have Easter dinner plans and all that. I have plans to try to get over Easter breakfast. Amen. Amen. That might require a nap somewhere along the way. Amen. Because He lives. Number one, because He lives, we can put our faith in Him. The Word of God said right here that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Beloved, I wouldn't encourage you to put your faith in me. The Word of God said, cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. But I would encourage you to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He lives, we can put our trust and our confidence and our faith in Him. The Word of God said in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I used to do a little illustration when I was soul winning. I would use a gospel track. I would take a gospel track, and I would hold a gospel track out like this, and I would say, this is a gospel track. It's now mine. It's in my possession. I can give it to whoever I want to. I would hold it out, Brother Coulter, and I would say to that individual, is it yours? I want you to have it. Is it yours? 99 out of 100 times, I'm standing there with it, I'm holding it like this, and they'll say, yes. No, it's not yours. I want you to have it. It's not yours. And sometimes it takes 5 minutes for people to understand. In order for it to be theirs, they have to reach out and receive it. They have to reach out. It doesn't matter how bad I want them to have it. They have to receive it. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's offered to everyone. He's alive. He's got His hands outstretched. Amen. And He wants to give people the gift of God. But they have to come to a place in their life where they want to receive it. And then I would illustrate something else. I would illustrate faith. And in illustrating faith, I would just take a quarter and hold a quarter in my hand with my hand closed. And I would say to that individual, now I'm going to illustrate faith. Listen to me. Listen carefully. I said, in my hand I have a quarter. Will you receive it? They've already received the gospel tract. And normally they would just reach right out. And I would lay a quarter in their hand. I would tell them this. You know what you just did? You took me at my word. I could have had a razor blade in my hand. I could have had a straight pen in my hand. I could have had something that was poison in my hand. But you took me at my word. And this is what I will say to individuals. What kind of fool would you be to be willing to take me at my word and not take God at His word? The Word of God said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Faith. Because He lives, you can put your faith in Him. Secondly, because He lives, you can follow Him. 1987, how many years ago was that? 35? Is that pretty close? You know what I've been trying to do for 35 years? Follow Jesus. Why would you follow a dead man? A dead man can't lead you the way. But beloved, listen, one that's alive, one that's the good shepherd, one that says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Who are you following today? Who are you following? Everybody's following somebody. Who are you following? I'm glad because He lives, beloved, listen. We can not only put our faith in Him, but thank God. You know why Coulter's going to end up in Alaska? Not because why he wants to be all the... Because he heard about a need. They need someone. Who knows, brother, there may be one prisoner in that prison saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. There may be one crying out to God. And so what does God do? He gets his finger out and he begins to finger around in a man's heart and put it in a man's heart. And I'm telling you why Coulter wants to go. It's because Coulter has no other desire but than to follow Jesus. I'm not bragging on him this morning. If that's what you got the wrong thing. I'm bragging on the Lord that leads us. He's leading and he's alive. Because he lives, you can follow him. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. You know what a shepherd does? He gets out in front. We're not cattle, we're sheep. If you're going to get cattle somewhere, you've got to get behind them and drive them. If you're going to get sheep somewhere, Brother Wayne, you've got to get out in front of them and lead them. That's what the Word of God teaches. Listen, Jesus is not driving him to Alaska. He didn't drive me to where I am today. He leads me beside the still water. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Thank God one day he's going to lead me across the river. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. There he is. Because he lives, I can follow him all the way across the river. Somebody said, well, he's going to send an angel. That ain't what that psalm said. I'm looking for a personal escort across the river. You see, there's a couple of reasons there. He said, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Not only that, beloved, if the shadow, if death is just a shadow, there has to be a bright light. If there to be a bright light, I believe the Savior's on the scene. Because he lives, we can put our faith in him. We can follow him. Now, there's some people in the Bible that learned this. I'm glad I learned it. Because he lives, there's forgiveness in him. Yeah. I wonder if Peter didn't wonder, will it ever be the same? Yeah. I've cursed. Yeah. I've denied him. I stood outside there while they had the trial. I said I'd go with him all the way, even to death. I bet you anything. Listen, that may not be good language. But I'll just put it like this. I guarantee you, it was a happy day when Jesus fixed the fish and said, children, have you any meat? No, we fished all night and we didn't catch nothing. He said, oh, just throw your net on the other side. And now they can't hardly draw them in. But when they get there, Jesus already got the fish fixed. He's already got the bread fixed. Yeah. Amen. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, I believe that old heart is just melting. Thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep. Yeah. Brother Steve, I believe he was just overwhelmed. I thought my ministry was over. I thought it was over. I didn't think I'd get to follow him anymore. But he's going to forgive me. He's going to give me another opportunity. There may be somebody sitting here this morning. You may think, man, I've blown it. I want you to know this. God knows where you are. And there's forgiveness with him because he lives. He wants to forgive. Let me just back up for a minute. Lest you feel a little bit condemned in your soul right now. I wouldn't be standing here doing what I'm doing if he didn't forgive. A lot of people put the preacher on too high of a pedestal. I want you to know something. He's cut out of the same, let me use a good adjective, stinking flesh that you are. He's prone to fail just like you are. But thank God there's somebody to catch us. Thank God there's somebody to forgive us and help us because he lives. And then because he lives, not only can we put our faith in him, we can follow him. There's forgiveness in him. But because he lives, I like this, Brother Ralph, you will, in the song it says, all fear is gone. The fear is gone. I used to lay down at night wondering, man, if I don't wake up, where am I going to be? That fear is gone. You say, Pastor, where did you get that? Because he lives. You remember when Jesus went into the room there, the disciples were gathered behind closed doors, Brother Steve, were what? Fear of the Jews. He didn't walk in there and say, boys, you got every reason to be afraid. You ought to be shaking in your... Oh, no. Oh, Jesus stepped in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Oh, fear went out the window. Say amen. I'm telling you, it's because he lives that all fear is gone. All fear is gone. A couple more things and I'm done. I want you to think about this. Because he lives. I'm going to speak just for a moment to all of us, and then I want to distinguish something. Everyone in this building is going to face him because he lives. I'm not being kind of picky, but there are several songs that have been written over the years, face to face with Christ my Savior. And I believe that will probably happen. But first, I believe it'll be face to feet. Brother Michael, I believe when we see him, there's going to be a tendency to melt in his presence. You listen to me. John, the beloved disciple of the Lord Jesus, exiled on the Isle of Patmos. Are you listening to me? The Word of God said when he saw him, he fell at his feet as dead. He's the one that never did say that disciple that loved Jesus. He never would say that. He wouldn't even call his own name. He'd just say that disciple whom Jesus loved. When he saw him, he fell at his feet as dead. I say to you this morning, you need to be thinking about this. You're going to face him one day. You're going to face him. You're going to face him. One of two places you're going to face him. You're either going to face him at the great white throne judgment if you're lost, only to be judged according to your works. And I'll say this, anybody that's judged according to their works is in trouble. The God's people are not judged according to their works. This is not a play on words. We're rewarded according to our works. You say, Pastor, why are we going to heaven as God's people? Because we've been redeemed. Because the blood of the Lamb has covered our sin. Because we've been forgiven. That's why we're going to heaven. Amen. Our reward in heaven will be determined by what we did for the Savior. But beloved, listen. All that works will do for the unsaved man, the unsaved woman, is determine the degree of punishment in hell. They're going to be rewarded. Excuse me. Judged according to their works at the great white throne judgment. Now I want to say this morning. I'm just a country boy. I've got a daddy in glory. I've got a mommy in glory. I've got two sets of mamas and papas in glory. I got a bunch of uncles in glory. I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to start naming names. I've got a bunch of precious people in 9 years that's left this place right here in glory. And Brother Gary, I mean this. If there were no torment in hell, if there were no flames, if there were no torment, I'd hate to think, Brother Steve, that I'd just be separated. That would be torment enough for me to know that I'd never see these people again. That I'd never have the privilege to meet David, to meet Peter, to meet James, to meet John, to meet Moses, to meet Enoch, to meet Elijah, to meet Elisha. That I'd never have the privilege to meet Daniel, to meet Shadrach, to meet Meshach, to meet Abednego.
that I never had the privilege to meet Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, and Isaiah. That I never had the privilege to meet Mary Magdalene, the one, beloved, that was forgiven and seven devils cast out of her. Oh, you listen to me. I don't want the best that hell has to offer. Because he lives, mark her down. There's not one person in this building that's not going to face him. We're going to face him. Now, Brother Coulter, let me tell you this. God's leading me right here. An old preacher years ago, he said, Brother Vinoy, he said, a good sermon's like a sandwich. Of course, that got my interest. You say, why? Because I like sandwiches and like good sermons. He said, a good sermon's like a sandwich. He said, you start a sandwich off with a piece of bread. And then this old preacher sitting across from me eating lunch, he's holding revival for me in my church, first church I pastored. He said, now in the middle, he said, that's where the meat and the mater. He said, preacher, you might have to say something that sounds meaner than a junkyard dog. He said, but don't say that first. Remember, you start with bread. He said, you make sure you say that in the middle. And he said, you make sure you put a piece of bread back on the top. You say, you've lost your mind. I can't tell you how many times when I'm preparing with that man of God's words. Another thing he told me, Brother Wade, my heart hurts. He said, in the ministry, Brother Vinoy, he said, people are going to leave you. He said, they won't really have no reason. A lot of times, he said, they're just going to leave. He said, this same man, he said, don't get up and say something like, you look just as good going as you do coming. He said, don't get up and run your mouth and say something like, don't let the door hit you in the hind end on the way out. That old preacher said this to me. He said, brother, if you'll love them, and you'll pray for them. He said, sometimes they'll come back through them doors, and he said, they'll be some of the best people you've got in your congregation. You say, why are you saying all that? Because I want to. Because God wanted me to. You remember that up here preaching, brother, okay? If you're going to be meaner than a junkyard dog, make sure you put it in the middle, and make sure there's a guard that's meaner than a junkyard dog standing alongside of you. I got this feeling in my heart that Coulter can handle himself. Amen. Now let's come get us a piece of bread and close this thing out. You ready? Because he lives. God's people are going to fly away with him. How long has it been since we sung that song, Brother Ralph? I can't remember. I'll fly away, oh glory. Is that in a book anywhere? Boy, it'd be a good day to sing it, wouldn't it? Yeah. I'll fly away. Oh, glory. One of these days, I'm not going to need jet fuel. I'm not going to need somebody to tell me to buckle up. I'm not going to need anybody to tell me my flight's been canceled. All I'm going to need is not an airplane, not a helicopter, Brother Chris. The ride I'm going to take is plain air. Not airplane, but just plain air. I'm going to fly away. A lot of people, they'll judge you. But God knows my heart. There's a reason I do what I do. I want you to fly away with me. There's not one person in this building that I could look at and say, I don't want you to go. No, no, no. I want you to just, when Jesus says, come up hither, I want you to just rise. Brother Herman Anderson used to have a saying. He said, whether I go by way of the clouds or by way of the clods, I'm going to be with Jesus. God's people want you to go with us. Amen. Because he lives. I have a future with him.
I'm going to fly away with him. But that's not the end. That's just the beginning of eternity. We're going to a place. They can x-ray me all they want to, but they're not going to find any arthritis. They won't find anything out of place. They won't find anything ailing. We'll never be sick. We'll never die. We'll never hurt. We'll never say something that's taken the wrong way or hear something, get our feelings hurt. The Word of God teaches there is a place called heaven. Adam will never go through an ICU again. With a loved one, we'll never have to visit the hospital again. We'll never visit with someone again that can't remember who we are. I'm telling you, heaven is a wonderful place. It's been prepared for a prepared people. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, "I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." When Jesus prayed, I don't know if... I said a while ago, we do what we do because we want everybody to go with us. Let me tell you what Jesus prayed. He prayed in John 17, "Father, I will that those that thou hast given me be with me." Yes. Brother Steve, I'm not sure sometimes his longing to see us is not greater than our longing to see him. He loves us. He loves you this morning. You may be here today and you may be saved. You know there's a time and a place where you've trusted Christ as your Savior. But you know you're not in His will. You're not following Him. I mean, I could start preaching right now and tell you a lot of places where He ain't going to lead you. But it just make you mad. Amen. You know you're not following Him. You ought to just get back in the path. You say, how do you do that? Well, ask David. I don't know of anybody in the Bible that got out of the path any worse than David did. He lusted. He committed adultery. He committed murder. You say, well, he didn't kill Uriah. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He killed him. When he sent that letter by Joab out there, said, go to the hottest part of the battle and then retire from him. Leave him standing there by himself. There was nothing else for him to do but die. Read Psalm 51. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Who are you teaching the ways of God? I'll say this. The ways of God will lead you to the Word of God. The ways of God will lead you to the house of God. The ways of God will lead you to the people of God. Amen. God loves you this morning. If you're here and you don't know Him, maybe all this sounds like a foreign language. I can remember when it did to me. But I can also remember, Brother Steve, when an interpreter came, the Holy Spirit, and made the language clear. You're in trouble, son. The old devil, he jumped up there and said, they'll laugh at you. God said, you're in trouble, son. Yeah. Old devil jumped up there and said, they'll throw you out of this church. The Lord said, I love you, son. Yeah. I'm glad I didn't listen to the old devil. Somebody tell me what he is. And the father of a lie. He sure is. He's a liar. He'll lie to you. He'll tell you if you're young, you got plenty of time. I don't believe the devil ever tells anybody not to be saved. He just says, not now. Later. Not now. How many's ever heard what I call a wicked laugh? I'm talking about a laugh that I believe that's what the devil does when people fall off into the region of the damned, having believed his lie. He just laughs at them.
in a wicked way. Thank you for coming. Let's bow for prayer. Sister Laura, if you can find that song, honey, Brother Ralph, is it in that book? If it ain't in that book, maybe we know the chorus of it anyway. That's what we're going to sing. We're going to fly away, oh glory. Father, thank you for the blessing of being here today, for the liberty. God, I didn't even know 45 minutes ago if I had strength enough to stand. Oh God, thank you for your strength. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, I've been in Easter services where it's been real tight. And it just seemed like it was difficult to have liberty to preach the word. Not been that way today, Lord. People are praying, and I'm thankful. God, I do pray this morning that men and women, boys and girls, would do business with you today. God, that they'd forget about who's looking or what they think of, and realize our Father, they're not going to face pastor. They're not going to face their husband or their wife or their mom or their dad. Lord, they're going to face a thrice holy God one day after a while. God, I pray that those that come under the sound of our voice, under the tent here at Bible Way, would not leave this world unprepared. Lord, that you'd speak clearly to their heart. Lord, they would respond. The gift is being held out, but it must be received. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.